I believe probably one of the greatest challenges for Christians today is to live in contrast to the world around them. As Ken mentioned in his prayer, we are to be different and live different and live according to God's Word, and that the world would see us living differently and hopefully talk with us about that. There are a number of admonitions in the New Testament that encourage us to be different from the world. I think about Jesus' statement in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane there in John chapter 17. Jesus said that you are in the world, but not of the world. And so we're to be distinct. We're to live in contrast to the worldly ways. I think of Paul's statement in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think of John's statement in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I think of Peter's statement in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 that we are to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, and that we are pilgrims and sojourners in this world. We're just simply passing through. We're not to be bogged down by the worldly ways of life. And so there is the admonition to live in contrast to the worldly ways around us. That's what the Lord would have for us today. We've been looking at some lessons from the Old Testament book of Kings, and if you'll turn with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 15, we want to look at two kings by way of contrast. And what we want to notice this morning is that it is indeed possible to live in contrast to the world around us. We see it in the lives of these men, and we can certainly have it in our life today. What I want us to consider this morning as we turn to 1 Kings chapter 15, I want in just a moment to read the first 15 verses together. As we read these verses, I want you to think about the idea of contrast. I want you to think about the idea of one individual just simply going on and going along with the status quo. I'm just simply going to go along with the ways of the world. I'm not going to put forth any effort to be different. I'm just simply going to give in and go along and do what the world says. And then I want you to see in contrast another individual who says, no, I'm going to be different. And as we read these verses, I want you to see that contrast. I want you to see that difference. And I want you to think about, and I want us to think about this morning, the importance of living in contrast to the world around us. Much of what we have today is just simply going along. We're just going to go along with the music of today and the movies of today. We're just going to go along with the language and the dress of today. And we're not going to sort of rock any boat or go against anything. We're just simply going to go with the trends of the 21st century. And so if our culture is preaching alternative lifestyles, we'll just simply go along with that. And if we make laws condoning sexual things, we'll just simply go along with that. And that really is the way of the world. We've got to be different. And that's what Christians are all about, being different. And I ask if Matthew would read Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Look at that. You are seen as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You've got to turn the light on, brethren. You've got to be different. And we've got to go against the worldly ways and the sinful ways. We have to, in contrast, live differently. To encourage us along those lines, I want us to look at the lives of two kings, Abijam and Asa. And I want us to read, first of all, this morning, 1 Kings chapter 15. As we read the text, look for the idea of contrast. Look for the idea of two men being different. One man is said as living an evil life. The other man is said as living a good life. One man is described as not having a perfect heart with the Lord. The other man is described as having a perfect heart with the Lord. What do you see there? You see contrast. You see difference. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 1. Now in the 18th year of the king, Jeroboam the son of Nebat, began Abijam to reign over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God, as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did Jehovah his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him. Now, before we go any farther, look at verse 4. His son is going to be a what? Is going to be a lamp. What does a lamp give off? It gives off light. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, you are seen as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We've got this evil man, but his son is going to be a lamp. His son is going to be a light. And the point, brethren, is simply this, that each day that we give up, we are immersed in many ways with worldliness. We have to make a decision, a conscious decision, to live in contrast to the world around us. Continue reading in verse 5. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah, and turned not aside from anything that he had commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now there was war between Jeroboam and Rehoboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. Now who is this Asa? He is a lamp. He is a lamp. He is a light. He's a contrast. He's a difference. Well, let's see how. Verse 9. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Asa to reign over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah as David his father. And he put away the Sodomites out of the land, and he removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah his mother, or some versions say his grandmother, he removed from being queen because she had made an abominable image for an Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect with Jehovah all his days. And he brought into the house of Jehovah the things that his father had dedicated and the things that himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. Did you notice in the reading in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3, Abijam walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect. And then when you come down and you read verse 14, the heart of Asa was perfect with Jehovah. Do you see the contrast? Do you see the difference? And so this morning I want us to consider some contrasts and some differences in the lives of these two men. As we encourage ourselves this morning as people of God, we are a peculiar people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're a peculiar people. We belong to God. We're to be different from the world around us. How can we learn from these two men along these lines? Well, first of all, I want you to consider the first contrast, and that is that in these two kings, the second king of Judah and the third king of Judah, we have two different fundamental attitudes toward life. One is, I'm just simply going to carry on the status quo of those before me. The other one, in Asa, the third king of Judah, is someone who's simply going to be different. I'm going to live and do what is right. And we're actually going to turn over to the parallel account in 2 Chronicles in just a moment. We see then, and we learn in these two men, important lessons in contrast. First of all, I want us to consider the fact that Asa is a good king. And before we go any farther, I want you to consider for just a moment this idea of kings of Judah. There were two that were bad, Rehoboam and Abijah. And then notice that Asa comes along and he wants to be good. Notice on the right-hand side of the ledger just all the bad kings of Israel. I'm just going to be bad. I'm just going to be bad like everybody before me. I'm just going to do what they do. And when you read about the kings of Israel, you often will read this statement about how that they walked in the sins of Jeroboam. We're just going to go back here, just do the evil that others have done. And we have that in the case of Rehoboam. We have that in the case of Abijah. But all of a sudden, Asa comes along and says, No, in contrast, I want to be different. We're going to stop this cycle of evil. We're going to get out of the status quo. We're going to go against what has been done before. And brethren, we often have to do that. We often have to do that at work, and we often have to do that in other areas of our life where we're just simply going to say no to the status quo. We're going to say no to just being what the world tells us to be. And we're going to be good in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Asa could have just towed the party line. He could have just gone along with the status quo. But he said, no, I'm not going to be like my father. I'm not going to be like my grandfather. I'm not going to just simply go along with those evil things. And we even find that other individuals in the lives of the kings of Judah, they were willing to say no to the status quo. And in some cases, like Hezekiah and Josiah later, they reformed and they brought God's people back to center, back to God's Word. We're not simply going to follow the status quo. We're, in contrast, we're going to be different. And so I want us to see that this morning. Be a contrast, brethren. Be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Well, let's look at a few contrasts and lessons this morning. First of all, Abijam simply carried on the evil practices of his father, but Asa did not. And when I see that, I see in that a lesson of just simply be different. Turn with me to the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles, and I want to notice something here. In 2 Chronicles, the last part of chapter 12, we read about Rehoboam. Now, remember the chart. Rehoboam, bad. His son, bad. Abijah. And then Asa is wanting to be good. Abijah just simply said, well, I'm just going to do what my father's done. And he did evil, so I'm going to do evil. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. And Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city of Jehovah, had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah of the Ammonites. And he did that which was evil because he set not his heart to seek Jehovah. Then in chapter 13 and verse 1, you read about his son, and he did exactly the same thing. The point is simply, I'm just going to carry on the evil practices of my father. My father, verse 14, he didn't set his heart to seek Jehovah, so I'm not going to do that either. My father was evil, so I'm going to be evil. I'm just going to carry on the status quo. But when Asa was born, he said no to that. And so, brethren, you've got to be different. A lot of times we're told just simply to go along with the speech of today and the dress of today, the immodest dress and the other activities that are going on. And we've had lessons recently on such things as alcohol and those types of things. And just that's being promoted in our society. And our young people here this morning are especially challenged with this idea of peer pressure, just going along with things. No, be different, brother. As a Christian and as a young Christian, you are to be different. You are seen as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The first contrast that we see is that one was simply willing to toe the party line, you see. Just go along with the status quo, but Asa was not going to do that. And so he was going to be different. And we're going to read about some of those differences in just a moment. Look at a second contrast this morning. The Scripture says, back in our lesson now in 1 Kings chapter 15, we're told in 1 Kings chapter 15, with regard to Abijah, that his heart was not perfect, verse 3. His heart was not perfect. But then when you come down to Asa in verse 14, his heart was perfect with Jehovah. The second contrast is that of hearts. That which is the focus and the foundation of our life. Abijam just simply said, I don't have to have a heart fully dedicated to the Lord. And of course, that's what caused him to engage in the sin and the evil that he did. But Asa said, I want my heart to be right with the Lord. The young people are studying this morning in their class the statement of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and strength and mind. That's the foundation. That's where it all begins. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, give me thy heart, or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's going on in your heart this morning? What is your attitude like? What is your heart like with regard to serving the Lord? If it's not perfect and complete, wholly dedicated to loving God, that little that little portion, that little ounce, that little percentage that we're allowing for the world, that's where the devil creeps in and comes in. And so we find a contrast in hearts. We also find a contrast in a man who was not willing to remove sinful ways, and then a man, Asa, who was. And you know what I see when I see that? I see that Asa was willing to put the Lord first over family. Abijam just simply said, well, I'm going to go with family. I'm going to go with what my father Rehoboam had done. And I'm just simply going to carry on the evil ways. And I really kind of love my dad more than I love the Lord. And so I'm just simply going to walk in his ways. We find in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 3, he walked in all the sins of his father. What does that say? My dad is more important than the Lord. My dad is more important than what the Lord wants. And so we're putting family over the Lord. That happens today. We have lessons that encourage people to be converted. Well, what would that say about my family? It doesn't matter. We need to please the Lord. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10 that I'm a servant of Christ. I'm here to please God, not men. If I were pleasing men, Paul said, I would not be a servant of Christ. We've got to make a choice, brethren. And sometimes people will choose family over the Lord. Well, I won't be baptized for the remission of my sins because that might go against something that was in family or friends. Or if I have to attend each time, then that might go against family or friends. We've got to make a decision. Abijam just simply said, well, I'm just going to walk in the sins of my father. Asa said, no. I'm going to put the Lord first. And the example of that is given in our story this morning. Look at chapter 15 and verses 12 and 13. He was willing to go against the idols that his mother or grandmother had set up, and he was going to say no to a family member, and he tore it down and he removed it. Would we be willing to do that? So many people today, when you talk with them about the gospel, they'll say something like, well, that's just the way I was raised and I'm not going to change and I don't think I can get out of the cycle and I'll just be this way because my parents are this way or this was the way I was raised. What we're learning this morning is we can say no to that. We can be different. Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So we've got to make a choice this morning. Matthew chapter 10. In verse 37. And this young man, Asa, was willing to put away the idols, but not just any idols. Verse 12, sometimes when we remove things, if it's involved with other people, that's not as difficult. So verse 12 says that he removed some idols, but look at verse 13. He also removed his mother from being queen because she had made an abominable image. And he cut it down and burned it from his own mother. Or grandmother, depending upon the version that you're using. The point is still the same. A close family member he was willing to go against. And so that makes it more personal, doesn't it? It's not just some generic evil out here, but it's evil that's in my own family. And that's difficult sometimes, but it must be done. It's a test of do we really put the Lord first in our life. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where the brass tacks are, as we say. It's really where the fundamental core test of courage and dedication and character is going to be when it involves our own family, you see. Abijam, I'm just simply going to go along with what family says. Asa said no. And he's commended for it. And he's extolled for it. Now let's look at a few of these things. Turn with me now to 2 Chronicles. It's the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles that really gives us some insight into how far Asa was willing to go in making some changes. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 1. It's not just getting rid of evil, but let's notice some positive things that he did as well. As we learned the lesson this morning, that we have to put the Lord first, even over family. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Verse 1, so Abijah, his father, slept, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of Jehovah his God, for he took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down the pillars and hewed down the Asherim. That's the negative thing that he got rid of. But look at verse 4. And commanded Judah to seek Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. I want you to notice something for just a moment. It's not enough to get rid of the evil out of our life. We have to replace it with the good. A lot of times we talk about what not to do. Don't do this and get rid of this and don't do this. That's fine. But what are we going to replace it with? So verse 3, he took away the evil things. Verse 4 and 5, he put in the good things. There are those who struggle with addictions, and they'll say something like, well, I'm getting this out of my life, and I'm getting that, I'm getting my bad friends out of my life, and I'm getting the drugs out of my life, and I'm not going here anymore, and I'm not going to go over there anymore. Let me ask you this. What are you putting in its place? Church services? Prayer? Bible reading? Godly friends? No, I'm not putting any of that in its place. I'm just going to try to get by with not doing bad things. What happens is the devil fills that void and that hole with other bad things. And so, yes, get rid of the things that are bad in our lives, but replace it with that which is good. Verse 5, he taught and encouraged Israel to follow God's word. Look at verse 6. He built fortified cities in Judah, for that land was quiet and had no war in those years, because Jehovah had given him rest. God will bless us when we turn to him. In verses 9 through 15, we'll just summarize, we won't read it, but he had gone up to war against Zerah the Ethiopian, and the scripture says, look at verse 11, he relied upon the Lord. And so the Lord blessed him with a victory there. Come with me now to chapter 15 and verse 1. Let's see what else he did. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa. So here's a prophet of God who's going to speak God's word. Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Jehovah is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Asa said, look, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to go against the status quo. I'm going to live in contrast to my father and my grandfather. They did not rely upon the Lord. I'm going to be different. I'm going to do that. And when I do that, there's the promise of God blessing us. Look at verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel was without the true God. Remember, Jeroboam had been king for 22 years, and he'd gotten rid of the priest and set up that idolatrous worship back in 1 Kings 12. For a long time, Israel was without a true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their distress, they turned unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found in them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went in, nor to him that came out, but great vexations were upon the inhabitants of the land. And they were broken in pieces, nation against nation, and city against city. For God did vex them with all adversity. But be strong, and let not your hands be slack, for your work shall be rewarded. It takes strength to be different. It takes strength to live in contrast to the world around you. It takes strength to go against your own family and put the Lord first. And that's what the prophet is encouraging young Asa. Be strong. Let not your hands be slack, for your work will be rewarded. Look at verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominations out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities. It takes courage to be different, brother. Sometimes, especially young people, you'll be in a setting, there might just be one other person there. You're going to be pressured just to go along with the things of the world. And I'm not just talking about sinful things, but maybe denominational things, maybe religious things. There may be one person there that can influence you. It takes courage to continue to stand for book, chapter, and verse. Or there might be, you might be out with some friends and there's a pressure of sexual immorality or smoking or drinking or dancing or whatever the case might be. And it takes courage. And so look at verse 8. He took courage. Where does that come from? Knowing that we're pleasing God. Knowing that we're right with God. Knowing that we're going to be rewarded for doing those things. And we build that courage inside of us to put away those things that are wrong. Verse 8, he renewed the altar of Jehovah that was before the porch. Come down with me to verse 14. And they swear unto Jehovah with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath. For they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and Jehovah gave them rest round about. He encouraged God's people to come to God. And also Maacah, the mother of Asa, this is what we read earlier, he removed from being queen because she had made an abominable image for the Asherah, and Asa cut down her image. See, that's personal. That's close to home. That's difficult to do. To go against a family member who's not living right, but cut down her image and made dust of it and burn it in the brook Kindred. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. He couldn't completely get rid of everything in the land. He did what he could. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated. Now, we're going to come back to chapter 16 later in the lesson. But for right now, I want you to see the contrast between a man, Abijam, who just simply wanted to go along with the status quo of the world, and Asa, who was willing to be different. Brethren, be different this morning. Let's look at another contrast. Abijam was a bad father, but Asa was a good son. And when I read that, and you'll see this in other cases in the Kings, I think of Ezekiel chapter 18. Turn with me there. We need to give everybody a chance. We don't need to assume that because someone is being raised in a bad environment, that they themselves are going to be a bad person. We have a case here of a bad grandfather, Rehoboam, a bad father, Abijam, and then this son who wants to be different. A lot of times today, we may not be inclined to try to help someone or talk with someone about the gospel because we're assuming that because of their bad environment, there's just no way that they're going to turn out good. We need to give everybody a chance. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 14, having just read about this bad father, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done and feareth and doeth not such like, you can have a bad father that can give birth to a good son. And the point is that God will judge us each individually. Turn with me to verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous, Asa, shall be upon him. And the wickedness of the wicked, Abijam, shall be upon him. Sometimes we have individuals that grow up in a very bad environment. And the father's pretty bad. A lot of times he's in jail. Or the mom's in jail. Or there's some terrible problem. And then we have these children. Give every child a chance. Give every person an opportunity to come to the Lord and do what is right. Because you can often have that in a family situation. Well, I want to close this morning with one more contrast. And unfortunately, it's not a contrast between Abijam and Asa. These first four that we've looked at are. This last contrast is between Asa and Asa. And I want us to think about something before we close this morning, and that is, we need to be faithful to God our entire life. Because the last contrast that we see in this story this morning is, Asa the young king was faithful to the Lord, but Asa the old king was not. We read in the Bible different places where an individual will get older and they will leave the Lord. We read that, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 11. It said that when Solomon was an old man, his heart was turned away by his foreign wives. Have you ever asked yourself why that is? Why is that? Shouldn't it be the opposite? Wouldn't you think it's the opposite? That the older we get, the stronger and more faithful that we get? Have you ever thought about that? Why is it that we read in the Scripture that when someone gets old, they start becoming unfaithful? Do they get tired? Is that it? Do they get lazy? Do they get tired of fighting the battles and living right? Do they just finally cave into the worldliness when they were younger? They had a strong fortitude against worldliness, but they just... The defenses got weaker. Think about that. Go home and think about that. Why is it that when we get older, we fall away? The devil knows that. The devil has time on his side, and he exploits that, and he uses that. Turn with me now to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I purposely wanted to leave this portion of the story to the end to show this contrast. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and 15, we have Asa, the young king, who was faithful to the Lord. But when you read 2 Chronicles 16, the whole chapter, he had been reigning over 30 years, he's older now, he's leaving the Lord. And there are three examples of him leaving the Lord. And I want you to think about it, brethren. We've got to keep the faith all the way through our life. Don't be thinking, well, I was baptized when I was younger, and so that's just the way it's going to be. We're going to be faithful. We'll always come to church. No, no. There are example after example in the Word of God of folks getting older. Sometimes it says when they got older, their pride was lifted up. It could be pride. It could be laziness. It could be a number of things. But they leave the Lord. And at the end of the day, they've left the Lord. The three examples that are given, look at 2 Chronicles 16, 1 through 6. The first example that is given is that Asa puts his trust in the king of Syria instead of God. The second example that is given, just summarizing and paraphrasing, is in verses 7 through 10, when the prophet Hanani comes to him and says that he shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have put your trust in Syria. You should have put your trust in God. What does he do with the prophet? He gets mad at him and throws him in prison. This is not Asa the young man. This is not Asa. This is Asa the old man who's had a different attitude now toward preachers and the preaching of God's Word. In chapter 14 and 15, when he went up to war against Zerah, he put his trust in God. Now, when he goes up against the king of Israel, he runs to Syria. Then the third example that is given, we're told that when he was diseased in his feet, look at verse 12, yet in his disease he sought not to Jehovah, but to the physicians. And so there's three examples given here of Asa, the old man who was no longer turning to God. What a contrast. Now let me ask you this. Is there going to be a contrast between you, the younger, and you, the older? Or are we going to keep the faith all the way through the end of our life? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, that he had fought the good fight, he had kept the faith, he had finished the course. And he's described as Paul the aged in the book of Philemon. He stayed all the way faithful to the end. Will that be the case with us, or will there be a contrast? Stop and think about it. We're all sitting here this morning. What about 10 years from now? Will we be sitting here 20 years from now, 30 years from now? Or will we have left the church? Left the church for denominationalism. Left the church for worldliness. Because as we got older, we just gave up. And let me tell you, as you get older, those temptations and those challenges are there. You just simply get tired. Whether it's midlife or older, you get tired sometimes of fighting. You just want to raise the white flag. You want to throw up your hands. But we cannot do that. What a shame that we have this beautiful success of a man who stood in contrast to the world when he was younger. He stood in contrast to his own father. But later in life, he's just doing what the rest of the world does. And so there's even a contrast in himself. When he was younger, he was faithful. When he was older, he wasn't. Well, the lesson is yours. We need to stand out and be different from the world around us. Don't just simply go along with the status quo. Not being different for different sake. Not being different just to say that we're different, but different in that we follow the righteous principles of God's Word and not the unrighteous principles of the world. Be different. Number two, give your heart completely to the Lord when others around you are not doing that. Number three, put the Lord first over family when others around you are not. Give every child a chance to be right and live right. And keep the faith all the way to the end, because the devil has one more trick up his sleeve. He's got one more weapon in his arsenal, and that is time. He often gets people to come over to his side simply by using time. And something happens when a person gets older. They're preaching things that are different. They're no longer standing for what they stood for when they were younger in life. Sometimes preachers will change what they preach and what they stand for. Sometimes preachers will uphold things that are truthful and right earlier in life, and then later they get a hold of someone and they come in contact with someone, or they change, something happens to them. Now they're very opposed to the things that they were upholding just 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Change is set in, brethren. We have to be very careful about that and remain faithful all the way to the very end. Sometimes you'll hear about in the Lord's church a preacher or an elder or a deacon that has served for years and then finally they've gone into some form of worldliness. Some member of the church that had been baptized for years and faithful in their attendance and taught Bible class and waited on the Lord's table and was a song leader and all that kind of thing, and then later in life they just dropped out and quit. We have to be very careful about that. Let's keep the faith all the way to the end. If we can encourage you this morning to begin your journey of contrast and difference by coming and obeying the gospel, others around you won't, the world won't, they don't care anything about that, but be different this morning and come and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if as a faithful child of God you found yourself just slowly being assimilated into the thinking and the ways of the world, come out of that. Be a contrast. Be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. If we can assist you in any way, why don't you come as we stand and sing?